Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome to the Archbishop Nick Podcast, your source for uncompromising truth and prophetic prayer-driven teaching from the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. Today, the Apostle of Strategic Prayer teaches on the sober reality of prayerlessness and its hidden dangers. From the scriptures, the Archbishop establishes our divine call as watchmen over the affairs of our families, our generations, and our nations. He warns of the grave consequences of slumbering while at watch, reminding us that the enemy only operates when men sleep. Get ready for a word of awakening that will shift you from a state of passivity to a position of power. Now, prepare your heart. Here is Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams.
Please go ahead and put your hands together. Shout, clap your hands, say something, do something. Aren't you glad that against all contradictions you are still standing? Go to two people and tell them, I thank God that I'm still here. I'm still here. I thank God. I thank God I'm still here. Against all contradiction, against all odds, I'm still here. I'm still standing. Standing on the word of God. Is there anybody standing on the word? Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we are confronted by so many things, and the only thing that works against all odds and contradiction is what is written. And I promise you, irrespective of whatever you are feeling confronting you, that you're dealing with and addressing in life, remember that everything fails, but the only thing that endures and stands is the word of God. Hallelujah! And sometimes you can be seeing, hearing, feeling all kinds of negative things and things that does not fall in line with the word. You know what the word of God is saying, but you look around you and everything happening contradicts what the word is saying. And like the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it says casting down imaginations, and then it talks about anything that exalted itself above the knowledge of God. And sometimes there are thoughts and imaginations and dreams and circumstances and voices all around you that contradicts the scriptures. So the word of God is saying one thing, but the reality of your circumstances is different from what the word is saying. Ladies and gentlemen, you got no choice but to stand and stand on the scriptures. Hear me. When we pray and when we do warfare, ladies and gentlemen, we are not fighting demons. We are not fighting the devil. Let me establish that. Make no mistake. This warfare we are involved in is not about fighting the devil or fighting demons. No, we're not fighting demons. We're not fighting the devil. We are superimposing, we are enforcing the devil's defeat. Are you hearing me? We are enforcing, we are superimposing the victory of the blood and the victory of the cross. You and I are the law enforcement agents of God. That is who we are. We are not fighting the devil. Colossians 2:15. The devil has already been dealt with. Look at it. Go ahead.
And having called principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it.
So they are already defeated. So this warfare is not about fighting demons or fighting the devil. We are enforcing and we are decreeing. Because you see, demons are stubborn. The devil is stubborn. And he's never going to give up until Jesus comes. And you and I must occupy till Jesus comes. We can't quit. We can't stop and give up enforcing the victory. When the law enforcement agent in any country decides to give up the enforcement of law, lawlessness and rebellion steps in. Give me Ephesians 1:26. Quickly.
Grace be to you and peace.
26.
2:6.
2:6. Or move to. Well, I wish I had my old Bible. Give me, we are quick and raised with him together in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. Work with me fast. Those of you at the top there, when I quote and it's incorrect, you move to the right thing quickly. Quickly. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Say, I superimpose. I enforce. Through the blood of Jesus, the victories of the cross, the victories of the blood of Jesus, over all the power of the enemy, over serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. Put your hands, enforce that scripture. This is not, it's taking me to Psalms. Lift up prayers. Come on, come on, come on. Say, I superimpose and I enforce the victory of the cross. The victory of the blood of Jesus over all the powers of the enemy and over serpent and scorpions. All the powers of the enemy and serpent and scorpions. In the name of Jesus, pray that prayer right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Now, give me 1:21 and 2:6. Ephesians 1:21 and Ephesians 2:6.
Far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion.
Go to 20. Go to 20. Let me see what 20 says.
Okay, go to 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come.
2:26. 2:6.
And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Has together with has raised us. Say us means you and I. You and I. Has raised us up together with who? Together with, and has made us to sit together. Say together.
Together.
Say hands of God. Say join hands with Christ. Has raised us up together with who? And seated where? So where is your position? You, where is your position? Where are you seated? Tell somebody, this seat, where you are physically, before God, is not your position. Say, when God sees you, He doesn't see you from the earth perspective. He sees you from a heavenly perspective. Come on, somebody. You see, until you grab it, until you have this awareness of your position and where you are seated, you will always fight demons. But when you know that you are seated far above, look at it, in where? Heavenly places. Then go back to Ephesians 1. 121. Far where?
Far above.
All
principality
and
power.
Might.
Dominion.
And every
name.
Which is named. Not only
in this age,
but
in that which is to come.
You get it? Your position is not just now, but it's also future. Are you hearing me? That is where you are seated. Far above. Now, give me Luke 10:19. Luke 10:19. If you don't grab this thing, it will be like you are fighting. We are not fighting demons. We are enforcing their defeat. We are enforcing the victory. And if you don't enforce it, you are giving them permission to go kill, steal, and destroy. When you don't enforce it, that means when you don't pray, when you don't declare the victory based on the blood of Jesus. Say, the blood of Jesus is the basis for enforcement. Why?
Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the
over
enemy.
Some.
All.
Over some. But what?
All.
Go ahead.
Over all the power of the enemy,
and
nothing shall by any means hurt you.
And what?
Nothing.
And what?
Nothing.
And what? Go back to Ephesians 1, 21. Over all the power of what?
Principality.
It includes all what?
Principality.
All the power of the enemy includes all principality. And hear me. Unless you grab it and maintain this awareness, it will be like we are fighting demons. When they say warfare, you don't get it. I am not fighting the devil nor demons. My assignment as a watchman is to enforce. Somebody say, you are a kingdom law enforcer. Tell two people, that is who you are. You are a kingdom law enforcer. Tell somebody, when I pray, I'm enforcing the laws of the kingdom. Say, I enforce the victory of the blood. Give me Revelation 12:11. Quickly, my time is moving. Revelation 12:11.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb.
And
they overcame.
And
they overcame.
And by
the blood of the Lamb.
And
the word of their testimony.
So how do you overcome? How do you overcome? By what?
The blood of the Lamb.
And
say
the blood of Jesus.
It's
not historic, but it's current. Say the blood was not an event of 2,000 years ago, but the blood still speaks. Say, the blood still speaks. Say, the blood of Jesus, the overcoming blood, the superior blood, is still current. Is still current. Is still current. Say, I apply the blood. Say, I invoke the blood. Say, I call upon the blood. Say, I deploy the blood. Say, I engage the voice, the power of the blood of Jesus over all the power of the enemy, over serpents and scorpions. Put your hands together. Make that declaration right now. The blood is current. It still speaks. The blood is alive. I plead the blood. I apply the blood. I invoke the blood. I invoke the blood. I engage the blood. I deploy the blood of Jesus over the heavens, the atmospheric heavens, the first heavens, the second heavens. I engage the blood. I deploy the blood. I apply the blood of Jesus over the air, land, and water bodies. The blood of Jesus. Now, they overcame by what? If they overcame by the blood of Jesus, how do you and I overcome? The blood. And the word of God. So it wasn't just the blood. It was the blood and the word of our testimony. So what is the word of our testimony? Psalm 107 verse 2. Psalm 107 verse 2.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Let the redeemed of the Lord keep quiet. Let the redeemed of the Lord be silent. But let the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord. What do you say? What do you say?
Redeemed from the hand.
I am what? I am. Tell somebody I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Tell two people you are redeemed. You are redeemed. What does that mean? What does it mean when you say I am redeemed? When you say I am redeemed, that is your testimony. Now, how many of you here are born again and you know you are going to heaven if Jesus comes? Show by hand. How do you know that? Look, the way you lifted up your hands, you are very sure. Very sure, you are confident. How do you know you are going to heaven? How do you know? Romans 10 and verse 9. Romans 10 and verse 9. And if thou.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
So, what is the basis of your confidence and your audacity that you, that used to be sinner like you, you are born again and you're on your way to heaven? What is the basis of your confidence? What is it? Now, if thou shalt what?
Confess.
Did he say if thou shalt believe? But what?
Confess.
So believing is not enough. You can believe and not be saved. So when you believe, you must confess what you believe. And if you believe and you confess, then the scripture says you are saved. How do you know you are saved? Have you seen your salvation before? Come on, talk to me. I said, have you seen the salvation? What is the proof of your salvation? Show me the receipt or the title deed of your salvation. The word and the blood. So, if you believe that you are saved and born again because the scripture says so, and you have believed and confessed that Jesus is Lord, and therefore you are saved, it is the same key and principle for healing, for protection, for deliverance, for long life. 2 Corinthians 4:13. My God. You know, for the next few months, there are three things that endure forever. When prophecy, prophets, preachers, pastors, apostles, signs, wonders, miracles. When everything fails and comes to an end, which it will, there are only three things that endure forever. And I think, Bishop, on our Wednesday Bible studies, we should start teaching on these three things that abide forever. Because people are running all over the place, seeking for the prophetic message, seeking for dreams and visions. Because you don't have the word. You don't know the word. You don't have a relationship with God yourself. You are depending on others to hear from God for you. But Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. If you are a sheep, if you are a child of God, you must know his voice. You must. If you don't know his voice, then it stands to reason that you are not a child of God. That's the bottom line. So you go to others to hear from God for you. But if you're a true child of God, you must know his voice. Now, three things abide forever. And I think, Bishop, we should go into teaching of faith and of love and of hope. The three things that will abide forever. Number one, faith. Number two, number three, these are the three things you must seek to have in your life. If you want to endure for all times, stick with these three things. Not visions, dreams, prophecy, or prophets, or apostles, or teachers, or pastors. Three things. 1 Corinthians 13, the last verse. Look at it. Look at it. Mm-hmm.
13.
Oh, talk to me. Uh-huh.
And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity.
These are the three things that will endure forever. If you are a believer and you don't know this as your salvation, as your foundation, the enemy can fool with you. Lift up your hands. Heavenly Father, help Papa to deliver the word by the auspices of the Holy Spirit, by the unction of the Spirit. Let him declare your word under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Grant him unction to function, utterance to speak as an oracle of God. Pray for me right now. Come on, pray. Pray for Papa. Pray. Pray quickly. In the name of Jesus, pray. Amen. Give two people a high five and tell them, you are the Redeemer of the Lord. You are the Redeemer. You are the Redeemer of the Lord. You must say so. Put your hands together, shout, and be seated. There's a message that I'm going to deliver to you, and it's a very serious message, as simple as it might be, because some of you have heard it over and over again, but I have to reemphasize, because repetition is important for clarity. Say, repetition is necessary for clarity. I want to talk to you about prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. And what happens when we pray, and what happens when we don't pray. And I want you to know that you are a watchman. Tell somebody you are a watchman, a watchman, a watchman. You're a watchman. A watchman, whether you're a man or a woman, in the spirit there's neither male or female. So you are a watchman. And God holds you as a watchman, responsible for your family, your community, your church, your tribe, and your nation. You are a watchman. Come with me to Matthew, the 12th chapter, please. Reading from the verse 24 to the 25th verse. Matthew 13, 24 to 25.
Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat and went his way.
The enemy only functions, write it down, and operates when men slumber. That's what it means. When we slumber, when the watchman, which is you and I, slumber and sleep, instead of being awake and alert spiritually, the enemy is given the freedom to operate, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That only happens when we go to sleep. Tell two people, please, don't sleep. Tell somebody else, please, don't slumber, don't slumber. Okay? All right. Ezekiel 33 and verse 7.
So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and shall warn them from me.
So when the watchman of the house of Ghana, the house of Ghana, Ghana is a house before God, is a house, is a family, citizens. If the watchman of Ghana slumber and go to sleep, if the watchman of this house slumber and go to sleep, God said, I will hold you responsible. He didn't say, I will hold the government. He didn't say, I will hold politicians. He did not say, I will hold the president and the ministers of state or national security, the police or the army responsible. He said, I will hold who? Who will be held responsible? The watchman is you and I. When we don't do what is required, that we may speak the word of God and warn the people, God said, we are held responsible. Let's go ahead. Isaiah 46, 56. Isaiah 56, 9 to 10.
All ye beasts of the field, come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest.
You see, this is an announcement and an invitation being made by the powers of the dark kingdom. It's an announcement. It's a special announcement and invitation being made to the powers of darkness to come and to cause spiritual havoc, destruction of lives and of human property. It's an announcement and an invitation being made to all the forces of evil to come, devour, steal, kill, and destroy humanity because the watchmen are not awake. The watchmen are slumbering, asleep, and not on their watch. So there is a special announcement being made, inviting the forces of evil to kill, steal, destroy, and to cause a demonic and an evil onslaught and an evil destruction of humanity. Go ahead.
Verse 10. His watchmen are blind.
His what?
His watchmen are blind.
What does he mean? It means the watchmen can't see. The watchmen, they've lost their sight. And it is dangerous when watchmen who are supposed to be on the wall to watch and alert the house and the family are blind. When they have eyes but can't see, is it possible that the church of Jesus Christ today have eyes but can't see? Is it possible that we've been desensitized, that we have no eyes, or we have eyes but we have lost our sight or our ability to see, that we can't see and sense, and we don't know what's going on anymore? Go ahead. Blind.
His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant.
Ignorant dogs. Watchmen who are not up to date with the times we live in. They are not up to date. They have no idea of what's going on in the world and around us. They live like normal human beings. They mingle and distracted by everything. But you are not just an ordinary person. You are a watchman. Heaven is counting on you. The salvation of nations, communities, leaders depends on your being awake, alert, and vigilant. The Bible says, be vigilant, be warned, sober. For your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The enemy is on the loose, ladies and gentlemen. He's on the loose and he's seeking to devour, to kill and to steal. He's as a lion, angry, because he knows his time is short. And he's seeking, looking for an occasion and an opportunity to kill, steal, destroy, and devour. Say, I apply the blood of Jesus. Come on, say, I apply the blood of Jesus. Say, I deny the enemy by the blood of Jesus any occasion to devour me and my loved ones and my nation. Put your hands and say, I deploy. I engage. I apply the blood of Jesus against any occasion the enemy is seeking to kill, to steal, to destroy by land, by air, by water. I apply the blood. I apply the blood. Apply the blood. Amen. Go ahead.
They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs.
They are all ignorant and dumb. That means they lack the ability to cry out. They lack the ability to cry out. To sensitize the church. To make the church aware of what's going on. Dumb dogs. Watchmen that don't have the instrument to blow an alarm. Go ahead.
They cannot bark.
They are what?
They cannot bark.
They cannot
bark.
Everybody do this. Do this. Sad. Somebody say sad. Go ahead.
Sleeping, lying down, and
doing
loving
what?
To slumber. Sleeping.
Sleeping.
Lying down.
Lying down.
And loving to slumber.
And loving to
slumber.
Is it possible that that is the true state of the church of Jesus Christ across the nations? There are strong indicators from many prophetic sources across the nations that there is a possible third world war coming. There's a possible third world war coming. Two schools of thought of these indicators. One prophetic school of thought believes that it is judgment from God. Another prophetic school of thought believes that it's a result of the prayerlessness of the church, and that this third world war this time is a result of the prayerlessness of the church, number one, and two, is from the enemy. It is also believed that there is another pandemic coming. I'm telling you, I'm not saying the Lord said to me, that's the answer. No. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you, but I have to put you on notice that there is a strong indicator that, or indication, that there is another pandemic coming stronger than COVID-19. And that is from the enemy and the greed of men to make money. Where it's coming from, I don't know. And when, I don't know. But these two events are in the womb of time. Whether it will happen 20, 26 or beyond, I know not. But there are indicators of a third world war coming. It is also believed that it will be between America and Europe, strongly, that something or an event will happen and it will trigger a third world war between America and Europe. So those of you who have loved ones in North America and Europe, it is time to begin to pray for them. Aluda kusadi mahasalu katun le katula kasalin davasa. And for those of you who keep all your wealth and your time and energy and everything into material things and money and making money and money and money, hear me. There is no security in this world but in God. Let me put it down. Make no mistake. There is no security in this world or anywhere but in Him. In Him. In Him. And in the ark. Make sure you are in the ark. Make sure you get all your loved ones and friends into the ark. Because the only safe place on this earth is in Him. The ark. Outside of the ark, there will be no safety. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. For in this world you shall have trouble, but in me you have peace. So keep that in mind. There is no safety anywhere, any place on the planet, except in Him. And we need to also pray for Ghana, our country, our motherland, because there's a lot of threatenings around our neighborhood. The South Sahara, there's a lot going on. And Ghana is a target of what is happening in other countries. And therefore, we need to pray for our president, John Dramani Mahama, as never before. Irrespective of the political party you belong to, these are not the days of political party. These are the days of love for God and love for country, irrespective of your tribe or your political party. We need to pray for our president. I'm just telling you, as never before. We need to pray for his protection. We need to pray for his preservation, his family, his loved ones, and we need to pray for the ministers of state, our ministers, finance minister, governor of the Bank of Ghana, dealing with the economy and our currency, Cocoa CEO of the Cocoa Marketing Board, John Jinapor Energy. We need to pray for the Gold Board, Sammy Jinfi. We need to pray for all the areas where we derive resources from to undergird our currency and the city that allows for food to be affordable for our people. We need to pray for timely rains, that it will rain at the right time and not the wrong time, so that farmers who plant will get crops and harvest. And we need to pray for the roads, that will have good roads to allow the food to be brought from the villages into the towns and the cities to subsidize or to stabilize the food, the price of food, so that there won't be hunger in the land. We need to pray for the healing of our water bodies. We cannot be ignorant. You just can't sit in Ghana and be leaving everything to the politicians when God has made you and I the watchers of the land, expecting the politicians to do right and to get it right. It will not happen. I'm just telling you. The church has gotten to a place where we have become self-indulgent. We go to church to receive from God. Give me, give me, give me, give me. What is the Lord saying? What is the Lord saying? Odifo shenkom, shenkom, shenkom. That's why today we have more people running for prophetic or deliverance services more than prayer meeting. 1976, I've just gotten saved, and I was seeking for God and the supernatural. I went to a prayer meeting at Church of Pentecost, 1976, one evening. That was when I met Bishop Nyako. Please stand. 1976, I met Bishop Nyako. 50 years ago, I went to a prayer meeting. Please sit down. And after that, I started preaching everywhere. And I established an all night that everybody was doing it. After a while, we become so sophisticated. We become so powerful, influential, numbers, everything, and we have given up on the prayer meetings. When I was out of the country in London, the Lord began to convict me and to deal with me that, son, go back to those days or nights. Go back. Then when I came, without saying anything, give the microphone to Bishop Kibi. Bishop Kibi, tell me what that preacher who converted from the occult said at that church. Listen to something. Go ahead.
We were in Tema, and this gentleman came preaching.
When, this is when? When?
This was in about 23 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that he was in the occult, and at that time, you had started doing the all nights, and it was disrupting all of their activities and their plans and interfering with the agenda that they had for Ghana. And that anytime they will meet to plan things, the prayers and the all nights that was stirring up across the country in the charismatic churches and the areas where you were pioneering was interfering with their activities and disrupting everything that they were doing.
So this was a guy in the occult who got born again and became a believer and was preaching in a church over 20-something years ago and said that the all-night we were having all across the country was interrupting their plans and agenda for the nation. That any time they planned anything, those prayers was interrupting their plans and they couldn't carry things out. And he got born again. Therefore, on authority, from the throne room perspective where you and I are seated with Christ Jesus, I hereby call upon the church and on all churches across the nations hearing the sound of my voice, Action Churches, and over the 3,000 network churches across Ghana and the nations to return to the Friday prayer meetings. Let's go back to Friday prayer meetings. And I tell you why. Hear me. Make no mistake. If we play, I'm telling you, on authority, and I'm not saying God showed me or told me, that the indicators point to a third world war. And it will happen if we play. But there are certain prayers we must pray. That God, let the destruction be minimized if it must happen. And if it can be averted, then let it be averted. And if not, save your children. Spare the righteous. Then we must pray the prayers that Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. Will thou destroy the righteous and the wicked? Let it be far from thee. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? So we must plead for the preservation and the deliverance of the righteous across North America and Europe. It's important. We must pray that prayer. Then with the pandemic, there are scriptures we must enforce if it will happen. And if it cannot be averted, then let the destruction be minimized. Let the righteous and the redeemed of the Lord be saved, preserved, and delivered. It also means that the redeemed of the Lord must stand pure. It means that we cannot break the hedge. Because the Bible says, he that breaks the hedge, a snake will bite you. And the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one cannot touch him. It means that if we have ever sought for holiness and walking in righteousness, it is now or never. Because if you break the hedge, a snake will come in and bite you. When you are going to bed and you leave your door open, anything can come in. So keep that in mind. I believe that for those that will pray every Friday, we'll have an all night here. I've summoned all our bishops and our pastors across the nations, and I'm speaking to all our affiliate churches all across the nation, over 3,000 congregations. I'm asking them all to consider going back to Friday all night prayer meetings. Fasting on Fridays and having all night prayer meetings. We must go past these selfish prayer meetings. Prayer meetings when we come to just pray for ourselves and we ignore others and ignore our nation and we ignore those in authority. Somebody was telling me on Thursday when we were in prayer here, we prayed for the president, if you remember, those of you who were here, over and over again. Then I said, let's pray for all the ministers of the president and let's pray against national mourning. That same day, after the prayer meeting, I was told that there was an accident somewhere in the country, maybe in the north somewhere, where some of our ministers were involved in an accident and they escaped. Do you understand the implication if they have died? You don't get it. It's like we are desensitized. Do you understand the implications if those ministers have died? It means another national mourning, a dark cloud over our nation, and over leadership. I don't think you understand the implications of some of these sudden distractions. So when we ask you to pray, please put aside your political persuasions and convictions and manifesto. And realize that this is bigger than your political party. This is about love for the destiny of a nation. And it has to do with your children, your grandchildren, and your children's children. Please do not take for granted these things. Let's proceed. Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7.
I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem.
I have what?
I have set watchmen.
Tell somebody, you are a watchman, you are a watchman, you are a watchman. That is who you are, a watchman. And God holds you and I responsible, whether you believe it or not. You can rebel, you can do whatever, but you are held responsible for what goes wrong in this country. And in your community, whether you like it or not, you have no choice. I have no choice. I have been praying for this nation since 1976. When I stood in the church, Bishop Nyaku was there. And a young man, he's still alive, he's one of my sons. He stood up and he prophesied and he said, Ghana, Ghana is a sheep nation and it's my nation. That saith the Lord. And a proclamation was made. And within 24 hours, somebody was removed from power. And I learned a lesson from that day. And I haven't stopped praying for Ghana. Even though I have been misrepresented, falsely accused, they've called me names. It still doesn't matter. I'd rather obey God than to disobey God because of the fear of man. I have prayed for regimes I don't even agree with because I don't have a choice. I have no choice but to pray as a watchman. Go ahead.
I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night.
They shall never hold their peace day nor night.
Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish and till he makes Jerusalem a place.
Tell someone, you can't hold your peace. You can't be silent. Matthew 26, 10 and 11. And he came into the disciples. Matthew 26, 40, 41. Thank you.
And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep.
found them
asleep.
Go ahead.
And saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?
Watch. Again, the word watch. Watch for an hour.
Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Hear me. You can never withstand a temptation of anything, whether it's a temptation of a man, a woman, sex, pornography, drugs, and alcohol. It doesn't matter. Compromise, money, power, influence, jealousy, envy, covetousness. It don't matter what the temptation is. If you don't pray, it will overcome you. I'm just telling you. And I don't care how long you've been born again and speaking in tongues. If you stop praying, it will overcome you. Remember, these disciples were with God. Jesus, God made flesh. They were with God. And because they did not pray, when the hour of the temptation came, they failed because of prayerlessness. Prayerlessness will cause you to compromise and fail, no matter what confronts you. Samson. Judges 16, 20 to 21.
New King James Version. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before, at other times, and shake myself free. But he did not know the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters.
They brought him where?
Gaza.
They brought him where? You know, this conflict about Gaza, it's been going on for 3,000 years. If you don't understand history, you won't pray intelligently and wisely about that situation. You'll become emotional about it. But if you understand the history of Gaza, you will pray wisely and intelligently. But however, let's proceed with our message. Samson was called to deliver Israel. And for 20 years of his calling, he never prayed. Samson never prayed. He prayed only 2 times. The first time he prayed was when his life was in danger and he was about to die. He was a selfish leader and a very selfish believer. He only prayed for himself. Never prayed for the country and the nation. Prayed only for himself. When he was about dying, he cried out and God saved his life. The second time we heard Samson pray was when his eyes was removed at the end of his life. And he prayed for his strength to be restored to him. And he died with the Philistines. That was the only 2 times Samson prayed. Put these two prayers aside. The guy never prayed. Why? He was strong. He was anointed. He was very intelligent, very brilliant, skillful, and smart. So watch this. Skillful, successful, smart, intelligent people don't pray. Because they can solve problems without praying. They don't need to go to God about anything. Proud people don't pray. Arrogant people don't pray. Rebellious people don't pray. Stubborn people don't pray. It's humble people who pray. If my people, not if the politicians, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. That means you can't pray without humility. You can't pray without humility. And church, hear me. I don't pray because I have need. I don't fast or pray because I'm broke or I don't have food to eat. That's not why I pray. I pray because I understand the implication and the consequence of prayerlessness. Even with all the prayers we are praying, look around us. The unrest, the turmoils all across the nations. And right here in Ghana, just leave Accra. Go to the internet. Check things on the internet. It's scaring. I've stopped looking at social media because it's getting very scaring when you get on social media and you read and see some of the things going on in the world. It's like, if you are not very careful and you are an intercessor, you have to intercede every minute, every second. Sometimes I pray 4 times a day. Sometimes 5 times a day. Sometimes back to back to back to back. And I'm realizing that some of the people around me have been running away from me because they are becoming tired and weary of prayer. But I can't help it, because sometimes I'll just be there and I feel a stirring in my spirit. I can feel a conflict. I feel an urgency to pray. And I just, everybody, including driver, security, everybody, I call everybody to pray. Whether you can pray or not, I'll teach you how to pray. And I say to them, say in the name of Jesus. I'm making everybody an intercessor. And these days I can see, as soon as I come to the place I sit, everybody begins to dodge me. When I say, call me this person, he's in the toilet. Call me this, he's at the car park, and they are dodging. And I can tell they are dodging me. But I'm sending you notice, whether you dodge me or not, I will get you. The times we live in, the Bible says, his watchmen are dumb, blind, sleeping. So they are calling the beast of the field to come and devour. So it's dangerous. Samson did not know that the Lord has departed from him. Prayerlessness will cause you to lose your sight and your vision. Prayerlessness will cause you to lose your discernment. And prayerlessness will cause you to put your head on the thigh of a Delilah. Ask somebody, where have you laid your head? Your head, where is it? Samson should thank God that when he woke up, he still have his head. Because they could have cut the head off. Time! He lost his sight. Because if his head had gone, it's not every time you put your head on. And prayerlessness can cause you to put your head where your head shouldn't be. Samson lost his sight. He lost his vision. He lost his sensitivity. Come with me quickly. Wow, the time moves. Okay, let's look at 1 Kings 3:20. 1 Kings 3:20.
And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thy handmaiden slept and laid it in her bosom.
Why?
Thine handmaiden slept.
When was the exchange? When did the exchange take place? When she slumbered. So that's what happened. Prayerlessness causes demonic exchange and swapping. The enemy can take what is yours and replace it with evil. That is what happened. Prayerlessness causes spiritual exchange. Alright, let's move on quickly. Acts chapter 12, verse 5 to 6. Peter therefore
was kept in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto mm-hmm. God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers.
Peter was sleeping. Is it possible that our spiritual leaders are asleep? Is it possible our spiritual leaders are slumbering? Because if we are awake, there is too much going on around us. And we are being pulled into pettiness, pulled into political debates, foolishness, jealousy and envy, pulled into who is bigger than who has more following and members and numbers, who is richer than who has what than who. I heard a preacher was angry because they mentioned a certain preacher's in Africa, his name as the richest preachers in Africa, and his name was not mentioned, and he was angry. Thank God that your name was not mentioned. Why should your name be mentioned? The mention means some places it's not true. What they think I have, I really don't have. But I'm not going to fight over those things. That is not my assignment to fight. Fight over what? It's foolishness, pettiness. And pettiness kills purpose. We become so carnal that we seek for relevance of men, acceptance of men, to be in the good books of men, to be trending, to be the biggest and the better. What is all this foolishness about? Are we called to please him or men? We live in a society where people go out of their way. They don't care who they kill, who they destroy, who they damage, who they misrepresent. There are people who have a ministry who go around just destroying good names and good people, undermining people, betraying and destroying people for acceptance. They know everything about everybody by themselves. They can tell you everything that happens in everybody's bedroom, from the president to the garden boy. They know everything about everybody, but they don't know anything about themselves. And that is how they make their money. Destroying people. Selling lies. Rumor mongers. Slanders. Jesus said, "Woe are you! If all men speak well of you, you are not a good disciple." So is it possible that the Peters of today, working miracles, whose shadows falls on the sick and heal the sick, the Peters of today, raising the dead, Tabitha, oh Dorcas, Tabitha, rise, and the dead comes back to life. Is it possible that the Peters of today are asleep? And watch this, they were not just asleep in a revival. Look at when Peter was asleep. Go ahead.
And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers.
The night before he would have been brought forth for execution, to be killed, like Stephen died because the church wasn't praying. James was murdered because the church wasn't praying. Prayerlessness is a result of some of these things that we always end up asking questions. What is happening? What is going on? It's all prayerlessness. Moluku Salah. Asan katan kidei tuwan kahasalun kilahandua ayalan akun salin. Oh salama hasan kilahatun kusala amas. Belitukum kufasilan masia alataya. Go ahead.
And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prisoner.
He was in prison, bondage, two chains, bound, and still asleep. Is it possible that the Peters of today, and that the church of today, and the believers of today, even though we might be in some kind of a bondage or some kind of a chain or captivity, are still desensitized, slumbering and sleeping in the midst of danger and trouble, that the church has been desensitized, that we don't care anymore, or possibly we have given up? Maybe Peter gave up because Stephen had been killed and James had been murdered. So maybe Peter gave up waiting for him also to die. Possible? But it's possible that in the midst of all the fears, the threatenings, the unrest around us, all over the nations, the church is still not praying. That is possible the church has gone to sleep. We have been desensitized. We don't care. Irrespective of the messages that come, it's like we live in our own world. It's like if something happened to this world or this nation, it doesn't touch us. You are joking. Make no mistake. Especially if you have children, make no mistakes. There's something that I was speaking. Kidnapping. Kidnapping. Child kidnapping. Child kidnapping. Any form of kidnapping. We must intercept. Then we have to intercept and arrest and deal with any form of organized armed robbery and assassination. Any form of organized armed robbery and assassination. Now, when I speak on this platform, please understand that I'm not just speaking to you. I'm addressing nations all across the nations and on the internet. I'm speaking to nations, and I speak to thousands, hundreds of thousands every Sunday, more than the crowd that comes into this auditorium. I don't know where it is coming from, but I sense, and it keeps coming into my spirit from here, not from here, from here. Organized armed robbery and assassination, kidnapping, any form of kidnapping, let it be intercepted. Let it be uncovered. Let it be arrested. And then continuous bad dreams or continuous nightmare, that you keep having the same dreams, nightmare, negative dreams, seeing dead loved ones, dead people, casket, cemeteries. You keep having those dreams over and over and over again. Today, on the account of the blood of Jesus, let it cease. Let it break in the name of Jesus. Let those threatenings and intimidation come to an end. Let those projections be intercepted. Ah, no facus fulun leatu kan dilaya katung kasalamaha oya oya adun kidin mahasala akitoloku suluka madula akum kawang elendo san. Oh, let the opposite occur on that day. Whatever day or week or month on the calendar of 2026 that they have appointed as a day of our demise and sudden destruction, on that day, by the speakings of the blood of Jesus, let the opposite occur. I said, let the opposite occur. Hey, hey, kosala, masun, mayan, kilahasun, kadula masala. You can look at me any way you want to. You can say, who is this guy? He's always, hear me, I am, my job is the voice of one that cries in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. My job is to alert you as a watchman. Whether you take heed or you don't take heed, I have delivered the message. Malika Sula Masala. Wa ansian kido mehi mohi sala kisun mahadalu kusin. So Peter was in prison. Hear me, the only reason why Peter made it and escaped was because a group of people prayed. The only reason why Peter survived and made it, even though he was asleep in the midst of trouble, does it mean that we can be so desensitized in the time we live in today by social media, money, power, influence, gain, that even in the midst of destruction, we don't feel anything? Because we've been desensitized. It's like you are under anesthesia and they are cutting you and you don't even feel it. What will it take to wake you up? Tell somebody, oh, church. Say, let the sleeping church awake. Say, let the sleeping giant awake. Is it possible that we are asleep, slumbering? Have money, but slumbering. Power, but slumbering. Numbers, form, the form of godliness. We have so much acceptance. Woe are you, said Jesus, if all men speak well of you, you are not a good disciple. We got to come to a place that irrespective of the relationship we have with all these powers that be, that we can still look at them in the eyes and tell them truth without being afraid. We live in very dangerous times. Okay, come with me to Acts 16, 25 and 26.
And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed.
The only reason why Paul and Silas made it was because they rose up to pray at midnight and didn't sleep in the midst of trouble. Paul slept. Paul and Silas said, no. Somebody said, not so. Come on, somebody said, not this time around. Somebody said, not this one. Madula. Hey. Kibolama salam kawahasa. Paul and Silas said, no, not this time around. We will not slumber. We won't give sleep to our eyes and rest to our bodies. We will rise. We will pray. We will deal with the foundations of our father's house and our mother's house. We will deal with the implications of our background. For we are new creation realities. We refuse to allow the old to have preeminence over the new. We will not allow the past to dominate the future. And as a result of their prayers, foundations were destroyed. Everybody's doors were open, and the bounds or the chain of everybody was loose. Moka salimi anna. Adekusu kadilasa. Kidin kupasan. Yeman akusandima. Joshua 9:14. The Gideonites.
And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord.
Joshua 9:14. Again.
And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord.
One of the most dangerous things leaders face today, and all of us, is to take decision without inquiring of the Lord. One of the difference between David, the king of Israel, and Saul, and many other kings was this, that David had the attitude of always inquiring of the Lord. Today, we don't inquire of the Lord anymore. We are good at what we do. We are masters of the game. We've read. We have information. We are intellectuals. We know everything. We have the answer to everything. AI can give us answer to everything. And so we don't inquire of the Lord anymore. But the Bible says, ask and it shall be given. Then he said what? Seek. That word seek means inquire of the Lord. When you keep asking and not getting the result, inquire of the Lord. Seek him. Buy into the mind of God. Download heavenly intelligence. This generation don't inquire of the Lord anymore. It's become very uncommon. People find it very difficult to inquire of the Lord. But David was a man of God, after God's heart. He will always inquire of the Lord. Joshua and the leaders of Israel did not inquire of the Lord. They took a decision, went to a wrong covenant, into a wrong covenant with the Gideonites, and ended up creating trouble for generations yet unborn. Let me tell you, the decisions we take today has serious implications over our children and their children and our children's children. One king of Israel that never prayed throughout his kingship and never inquired of the Lord was King Saul. King Saul never prayed. He believed in his stature. He believed that he was good at what he did or dance as the king. He trusted in the arm of flesh. He never consulted God about anything. Lord God Almighty. And a day came when he wanted to hear from God. And the prophet Samuel that he depended on had died. And this is where the issue is. My sheep knows my voice. When people refuse to build a personal relationship with God, they turn to depend on prophets and prophecy and men and women of God instead of having a personal relationship with God, they are always seeking to hear a word from somebody. And that was Saul's problem. Saul never sought God, never had a personal relationship with God. It was always seeking the prophet to tell him what that says the Lord was. He didn't have a personal relationship with God. When the word of the Lord came to King Hezekiah that he would die, he didn't ask the prophet to pray. He sought God for himself. And I'm not saying don't ask prophets to pray if they are genuine prophets. That's not what I'm saying. We need to correct the error. There's a whole lot of error going on. And I'm saying that you must have a personal relationship with God. And if you are his sheep, you must know his voice for yourself. And Saul never prayed, never consulted God all of the years of his reign as king over Israel. And there came a time when he needed to hear from God. Look at what he did. 1 Samuel 13:13-14, and I'll stop here, my time is up.
And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy
kingdom." You know what? Move from there. Go to 1 Samuel 28, 6 and 7. We'll come back to this next time.
"And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams..."
The Lord what?
"Answered him not."
Hear me, those of you who feel like you are so good and powerful that you can manipulate anyone and anything because you are sitting pretty, you have big pockets, and you feel like nothing can touch you. You are untouchable. Aha! You are joking. Make no mistake. There come a time when we will all have need of our Creator. And there came a time in the life of Saul, the king of Israel, when he needed God and he sought to hear from the Lord. And the Bible said the Lord what? Answered him not. Yes. That day came when God said, "You are seeking me? You want an answer from me now?" No. I don't answer arrogant people like your kind. I don't answer those who trust in themselves and their skills and the arm of flesh. Those who have no regard and respect for me. God said, "I have nothing to say unto you. Find your way." Go ahead, look at it.
"The Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets."
Mm-hmm.
"Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit."
Seek what?
"Me a woman."
Come on, talk. Seek who?
Familiar
spirit. He didn't say a man, he said a woman. I'll stop there, I won't go further. But seek me what? A woman with what?
A familiar spirit.
I'll stop there. Go ahead.
"Seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servant said unto him, "Behold, there is a woman that has a familiar spirit at Endor."
Stop here. We'll continue. A day came when he sought to hear from God, and God won't answer. And he resulted into a witch, a woman with a familiar spirit, a medium, and went to seek the word of the Lord from a dead prophet. Contact the spirit of the dead prophet, bring back his spirit, and inquire of him what the word of the Lord is for me. That is what happens when you don't take time to build personal relationship with God, and you establish your personal relationship with people who hear from God for you, see from God for you, and are always giving you a quantre. You have to hear from God about the color of dress you should wear, the shoe you should wear, the food you should eat, what you should buy and what you shouldn't buy. You haven't learned to build a personal relationship with God. You haven't learned to become a sheep that hears the voice of your master. Stand. I didn't ask you to clap. If you are clapping, clapping. Now, hear me. I want us Look at the time right now. What time it is? I want us to pray for the president. Remember the time. Remember the time. I want us to pray for the president of Ghana right now. Wherever he is, with his wife, Lordina Mahama, and his family. Then the ministers of this government, finance minister, very strategic. Governor of the Bank of Ghana, very strategic. One day you will understand why I'm asking you to pray for all these people. CEO of the Cocoa Board, Sammy Jemfi Gold Board, John Jinapo Energy, and there are other areas, communication, Sam George. There are very strategic people, defense, minister of defense. A defense of a nation is very important. Minister of defense, national security advisor. These are no joke. The IGP of police, IGP of police. All these individuals, the foreign minister, foreign affairs. We live in a world that has become a global village right now. None of these people can afford to make a mistake. They can't. Too much is at stake. I'm telling you. Utterances become very important in the times we live in because of the internet. You can't take back. We live in very dangerous times, and we need to intercede for all these people. Whether you like them or you don't like them makes no difference. If you're a citizen of this nation and you live in this country, then it is required of you to intercede for those in authority. 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4. 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4. It is a requirement. It is mandatory. It's a command. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplication and prayers, intercession and giving of thanks be made for some men. Men of our party. But what? Dalu Kasa, for some kings. But kings, plural, and for all or some that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and what? Peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Talu Kasa, for this is wrong. For this is wrong in the sight of God, our Savior. But what? Right. Go ahead. Or good. Mosala, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Find me, pray for the nation wherein thou have been taken captive, Jeremiah 29 and verse 7. Jeremiah 29, 7. So this is for every Ghanaian, and especially those of you who are foreigners, Jeremiah 29, 7. If you live in this country, seek the peace and the city. Go ahead.
And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. And pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace.
So, if there is no peace in this country, I don't care how mega your church is and the numbers you have, and you run 20 services Sunday morning at the stadium or the Blaster Square, if there is no peace and there is curfew in this country, it will affect you. When the shutdown came during COVID-19, it affected everybody. So stop this arrogance and attitude. When we say, let's pray for the nation, pray for the president, for those in authority, you have all this kind of attitude and mentality. You are a very ignorant person. And you are a very arrogant person. And I pray that in the day that you need the Lord, he will show you mercy and not turn his back at you like he did to Saul. Lift up your hands. Say, Father, we pray for our president and for all that are in authority in the name of your son Jesus. And some of you know their names. I don't know everybody's name, but call their names. Bring their names before the altar of prayer. Call their names upon the altar of prayer and say, Father, remember them, for they cannot afford to make a mistake. Yes, sir. They are all here. Yeah, chief of staff. They are all coming on the screen. Kadula, mention their name, the chief of staff. Yes, sir. Finance Minister. Kadu Laman Di Kasunda. Yeah, Foreign Affairs. Silama. Mode Laku Tala Saloon. Adila Kan Salam Motan De Kasun. Ye Nukasila Isala. Maki, Speaker of Parliament. Members of Parliament. Lift up prayers. Open your mouth. Put your hand. Begin to pray for them now. That they will not err. That they will not err. That they will not be sabotaged. That they will not do anything. That they will not do anything in the course of their responsibility. that will cause this nation grief or pain. Pray that they will not die prematurely. Pray that there will be no national mourning. Come on, open your mouth. Pray that there will be no national mourning. Pray for the vice president. Pray for the vice president. Pray for the governor of Bank of Ghana. Kadu, Kassim, Dalal, put your hands together for the next few minutes. Intercede. Call their names before the throne. Plead the blood of Jesus over them and their family. Begin to pray. Call on their names. Bring them under the covering of the blood of Jesus. Their names are on the screen and their pictures. Apply the blood. Apply the blood of Jesus on their behalf. Cancel every error. Cancel every sabotage. Cancel any attack. The AG, Attorney General, pray for every one of them that they will not err. That they will not err. Yes. Chief Justice, Speaker of Parliament, lift up prayer. Bring them before the throne. Come on, somebody. Are you praying? Mention their names. Cancel. Intercept and override. And intercept, override, and cancel. Mischief, conspiracy, every wickedness against any of these leaders, members of parliament, ministers of state, CEOs of companies, strategic companies, call their names, whether they are Christians or Muslims or whatever, it does not matter. As long as they hold those positions, it is my responsibility and yours as a watchman to pray for them. Come on, somebody, put your hands together, lift up prayers, pray for them. Adula, hey, look at the time, keep praying for them. Whatever any one of them is, in the air, on land, on water, we apply the blood of Jesus. We send prayers for protection. Put your hands together. Protection, 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 protection over all that are in authority. In the name of Jesus, somebody lift up prayers. Now, hear me. There's a prayer we have to pray right now. When the 12 spies went into the promised land, 2 came with good report, and 10 came with an evil report. In the month of February and beyond to 31st December of 2026, we intercept and we cancel any evil report about the president, our family, our loved ones, our nation, our economy, our going out, our coming in, our children, our grandchildren. We cancel any evil report. Pray that prayer right now. Pray that prayer. From the president, to your family, to our nation, to our economy, to this house, our children, our grandchildren, our loved ones, by the blood of Jesus, we cancel an evil report. We block any evil report in the womb of 2026, from the month of February to the month of March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Put your hands together. Apply the blood of Jesus. Cancel any evil report. We block any evil report. We block any evil report. In the name of Jesus, we block any evil report. Now, give me Ephesians 4:27. Ephesians 4:27, quickly. Ephesians 4:20.
Neither give place to the devil.
Any place, that word place means occasion, an advantage, a foothold, or a legal ground. Say any occasion the enemy is seeking to have over me and my family, this house, and my nation, and the president, to make a statement, to sabotage us as a nation, our economy, as a people, say in the name of Jesus, right now, we intercept, we cancel that occasion, that foothold, that legal ground. Put your hands together, apply the blood of Jesus, pray that prayer. Come on. Is somebody praying? I'm not feeling your prayers, though. Stop doing me that. It's a serious prayer that the enemy will be denied. and strip any occasion and advantage he seeks to have, any legal grounds, any foothold he's seeking to have against the leadership of this nation, against our families, our dwellings, our loved ones, the church in Ghana, God's servants and leaders in this nation. We block the enemy by the application of the blood of Jesus. We cancel any occasion and advantage the enemy seeks to have in the name of Jesus. Now, hear me. Quickly, three things. I want those of you who have been dreaming the same dream, especially from the beginning of this year, back to back, over and over again, the same dream, reoccurrence of some very bad dreams, nightmare. It keep coming. Then two, those of you who dream and you see dead friends, dead loved ones in your dreams, cemeteries, casket, come forward. And then I want us also to pray for those of you who dream and you see that you've been kidnapped or a loved one kidnapped, come forward quickly. We don't have time. Will you please come quickly? Please come quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Don't ignore these dreams. Don't ignore them. We ignore a lot of things we shouldn't ignore. And we are a family. We are a tribe. We are a nation. We stand together. Lift up your hands, everybody. Stand on your feet. Say, together we stand. And from the throne room perspective, we apply the blood of Jesus. We intercept and we cancel any demonic, negative, reoccurring dreams, reoccurring visions, projections, threatenings, intimidation against any loved one among us. In the name of Jesus, say right now, we intercept, we cancel. Put your hands together, pray that prayer. Everybody, we stand together, intercept, and we cancel. Any negative reoccurring dreams, reoccurring vision, negative, evil, reoccurring projections, programmings, threatenings, intimidations, in the name of Jesus, of the powers of the dark kingdom, let it be cancel, on the account of the blood of Jesus. We intercept and we bind the powers behind it, and we declare there will be no loss of any loved ones. There will be no negative reoccurrence of nightmare, bad dreams, evil occurrence where we and our loved ones, home and abroad, are concerned. We intercept, override anything contending for our lives and our nation, our leaders, our economy, our currency. We intercept and we bind the enemy in the name of Jesus. Now, quickly, give me two scriptures. Give me Jude 1:9. And then give me Musa. The thought of the righteous is right. The thought of the righteous is right. Come, O memory, come. In Jesus' name, good. Acts 27:21. Let's pray with this first. Lift up your hands. Say, any contention over my life, my future, my loved ones, this house. Say, any ongoing contention over this nation and all that are in authority, from the president to the least. Say, the contention over our economy and the destiny and the future of this nation, the contention and the contamination of our water body. Say, the attack on our currency, our cocoa, our gold, our energy sector. Say, right now, by the application of the blood of Jesus, we intercept and overthrow the contention in the air, on land, on water, in our sleep. Put your hands together, pray. Lift up prayer. We bind contentions. We bind disputes. Ongoing conflict over our future, our lives, our sons, our daughters, our loved ones, by air, by land, by water. Hey, we plead the blood of Jesus. We apply the blood of Jesus. We deploy the warring angels. The warring angels. The warring angels. Right now, to go to work, to wage war on the behalf of our family, our loved ones, home and abroad, domestic and external, our nation, leadership of our nation, and all that are in authority. The Speaker of Parliament, members of Parliament, ministers of state, CEOs, in the name of Jesus, Tola Kasi. Now, give me Acts 27:22. Let's close with Acts 27:22 quickly.
And now I exhort you to be of good cheer.
Yes, sir.
For there shall be no loss of any man's life amongst you, but
hear
of
me.
The ship.
Say, according to the scriptures, which is the basis for enforcement, I declare from the throne room perspective that from the month of February beyond to the end of this year, 2026, there shall be no loss of my life or the life of any loved one or them that concerns this house or my nation or leadership of the nation. There shall be no loss of any life. Stamp your feet. Put your hands together. Make that declaration. By the blood of Jesus, say it. I declare, I proclaim, by the stamping of my feet and the clapping of my hands through the blood of Jesus, that there shall be no loss of a loved one, of anyone that concerns us, the seed of the righteous, the sons and daughters of this house, domestic and external, home and abroad. We intercept any kidnapping. We bind kidnapping. We expose and uncover kidnapping and any organized armed robbery and assassination. We bind spiritual armed robbery. We bind spiritual hijackers. We bind spiritual assassins. Intercept. Bind them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hear me. Say in the name of Jesus. I can't hear you. Give me high energy. Say in the name of Jesus. By corporate prayers, from the throne room perspective, I declare that in the name of Jesus, spiritual armed robbery and assassins, spiritual hijackers, spiritual wickedness, in the name of Jesus, we declare that their responsibility, agenda, assignment to destroy us and our loved ones by land, by air, by water, in our sleep or dreams, say we declare right now in the name of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 7, say their imaginations, their thought, their conspiracy, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Put your hands together, declare it. It shall not stand. It shall not stand. Neither shall it come to pass. It shall not stand. Neither shall it come to pass. In the name of Jesus Christ, it shall not stand. Neither shall it come to pass. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your seat. We'll continue on Friday. Friday, the all night will be 12 midnight. We take off from 12 to 5 a.m. 12 to 5 a.m. 12 midnight to 5 a.m. Tell somebody 12 midnight to 5 a.m. every Friday until further notice. And we are praying against a possible third world war and another pandemic. We need time to pray. Tell someone we need time to pray. Please bow your heads. If you are here and you are not sure your name is written in the book of life, everything I've said belongs to the citizen of the kingdom, for the family. If you are not part of the family and the kingdom, it doesn't concern you. You can't profit from any. And if you are not sure your name is written, hear me, a day will come when you will cry out and he will turn his back at you like he did to King Saul and say, I know you not. The Lord did not answer Saul because he rejected God. He ignored God and chased power, went for power, and thought he was secure with his army and security. He had no regard and respect for God until a day came when everything failed and he needed God, and God said, I'm sorry. You can't use me. You can't exploit me. I won't respond. I pray that that day will not come, because the Bible says, and Esau repented, but it was too late. It will be too late one of these days if you don't respond now. For whatever reason, you keep holding back from him. A day will come when you will respond and God will say it's too late. If you are not sure, you say, I want my name written in the book of life. Preacher, pray for me. Please lift up your hands quickly. I want to pray for you. I'm not sure. Pray for me now. Lift up your hands. Be bold. I'm not joking. I'm not playing at all. Please stand on your feet if your hand is lifted up. Quickly. I'm not playing. If your hand is lifted up, stand. And you can also choose not to do it. I'm not forcing you. But the day will come when you want to do it and it might be too late. It will be too late. Saul repented. Esau repented, but it was too late. If you are standing, please come to the front. Thank you, sir. If you are standing, please come. If you are standing, please come. A day will come when it will be too late. The choice is yours. But a day will come. How God rejected the whole king. Who thought he didn't need God? He kept ignoring God. But a day came when the Bible said, he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him not. Let that not happen to you. Lift up your hands. Everybody say, oh God, I recognize. Say, oh God, I recognize that in sin was I conceived by my mother. Today, I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and a Savior. Jesus, I confess you, believing in my heart that you are the Savior and the Lord of mankind. I confess you, come into my heart. And the scriptures declare that if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth, I shall be saved. And I believe that I am saved because the scriptures say so in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at me. There's a gentleman standing behind you here. Turn around. This man, go to him. He has something to help you and you come back. I want all tithers, please come forward with your tithes, your vows. Everybody take your offerings. It's time. Everybody say, hear me. Before you give, say, I break every curse over my finances. Say, I release every treasure of mine, every fortunes of mine, held up anywhere by anyone. Say, I command the release of my treasures. I command the release of my fortunes. Say, I break every curse. I break embargoes. I break spells over my finances. Say, I break every spoken curse, written curse, inward curses against my finances, my prosperity. I break it right now. I apply the blood of Jesus. I break the curse. Now come forward with your tithes, your first fruits. Everybody take your offerings and now lift it up. It's true. Oh yes, it's true. God's wonderful promise is true. Let's stand. It's time to go home. Please remember Friday, our all night. It's a day of fasting, and like I said, you can fast from morning to noon and break your fast after that, or continue to 4 or 6. But just try and do something. Tell somebody, do something. Fasting is not a gift. It's a spiritual discipline, so do something. And the prayer is for country and the world at large, dealing with the possible third world war and another pandemic coming. Whether you like it or not, you'll be warned. And those who pray, when it happens, God will spare and God will save. and God will deliver. And remember, prayerlessness opens you up to the beast of the field. They will come after you. But when we pray, it blocks and denies the enemy. All over this place and online, with your hands lifted up, I command healings. I command healings. We intercept every oppression and affliction and infirmity in your body. For it is written how Jesus went about healing the sick and all that were oppressed, for God was with him. By the anointing of the Lord Jesus, we command the healing of the sick. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, we intercept any arrow that has been fired into your body, any attack on your health, on the organs of your body, we intercept. We break the attack. Put your hands and say, we break every attack. Break it. Break every attack on anyone sick among us. Anyone sick anywhere, in the air, on land, or on water. We break the attack. In the name of Jesus, we break the attack. Intercept, cancel, break every attack of any pain, sickness, disease, infirmity. Name of Jesus. You know, the other day, I was flying. An announcement was made that if there are any medical doctors, please identify. They want them to identify themselves, come forward immediately. And there was a situation on board the plane, and I won't say anything. I just have to keep praying. It's a wrong place for you to be attacked. And we have a few hours to get to Accra. May there be no medical emergencies where you or your loved ones and family is concerned, by air, land, or water. In the name of Jesus, let no one's health be compromised. In the name of Jesus, any arrow of premature death they have fired at anyone to bring about any sudden attack or element of surprise attack, we intercept by the blood of Jesus. As we put our hands together right now, intercept element of surprise attack on the life of our families, our loved ones, our nation, our country, the president and the members of parliament, speaker of parliament, national security, IGP, defense minister, and all that are in authority. Intercept, apply the blood of Jesus. Thank you. With your hands lifted up. Hosanna. Yes. In the highest. Somebody lift it up, lift it up. Hosanna, sing it now. Apostle Charles Mutombo from the DRC here, one of my sons. Welcome. Bon arrivé. Ça va bien. Amen. Merci, Seigneur. Merci, Seigneur. You see, I'm speaking in. Don't be jealous. Do something. Come on. Amen. One last thing before you leave. As long as you live, you will always need somebody. So please, don't throw away relationships. No matter who is wrong or right, don't throw away relationships. And I'll tell you why. Relationship is the currency of the future. You will need it one day. One of these days, You will need relationship. Money may fail. Everything may fail. But the relationship you invested in today will be the one thing that will save you tomorrow. So don't throw relationship away. It is the currency of the future. Relationship is the tree upon which money and longevity grows. Now, lastly, keep this in mind. Write it down. I have learned and decided that to be kind is better than to be right. So I choose to be kind. Because you can be right and lose your peace. And you can also be kind and keep your peace. So life is not always about who is right, who is right, who is wrong. That is a reason for wars. Everybody is right. So let's go to war and prove who is wrong. Then after they've destroyed themselves, they come to the peace table. Unnecessary. With your hands lifted up. The Lord grant you peace always. Extend his peace and longevity to you and all that concerns you. By all means. And now may the warring angels be engaged and deployed on your behalf and on the behalf of all that concerns you and country as we leave these holy grounds, that until we gather again, the warring angels will go before us. Make every crooked path straight. War on our behalf. Fight on our behalf. Work on our behalf as heirs of salvation. In the name of he who laid in the grave and rose triumphant on the third day, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hosanna. We've closed. In the
You have been listening to the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams on the Archbishop Nick podcast. Today's message serves as a clarion call. We cannot afford to sleep while the enemy is at the gates. For more life-changing resources, follow Archbishop Nick on all socials and digital streaming platforms. Remember to watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.